Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx Speaker, Business Positioning Strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 70 countries, such as the United States, United Kingdom, Canada, all across Europe, even to Malaysia, India, and the Philippines. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that changed our lives and how we use this to then transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here on Blog Talk Radio Network Tuesday through Friday. Join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community, and you can interact and talk to the guests even after the show. I ask that you subscribe to Life Transformation Radio wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts. We're available on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, the Himalaya app, and the Google Play Music app. Wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts, please subscribe to the show. I bring on the show entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, other podcasters and authors who are doing amazing things in the world and having a great impact in the world around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any questions for any of the guests that I bring on the show during our live broadcast, you can call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, the number 657-383-1109. And with that, please help me welcome to the show, Allison Franz. Allison, how's it going? And welcome to Life Transformation Radio.
Hey, it's going great. Thanks so much for having me. This is fun.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm so ecstatic to have you on the show. And we've been trying to do this a while, right? I mean, we've been trying to do this for quite some time. And finally, today, we get to make it happen. So I am super pumped that we get to do this.
Yeah, I think we met last September, and I guess today is the divine timing.
Today is it. And so, and with that, I want to let everybody know about you and what amazing things you have going on. This episode is titled The Grief Cure Method with healing expert Allison Franz. She is a grief and trauma healing expert, speaker, and author. She helps people who have struggled with grief and trauma for years and sometimes decades completely break free so they can flourish and thrive in their lives again. She is the founder of the Grief Cure Method, which is a unique and powerful way to heal deeply from grief and loss, and trains other helping professionals in this method as well. She is the author of the Amazon bestseller, The Grief Cure, a revolutionary guide to healing from loss, and has been featured on several podcasts and media platforms, such as one that we were both on, the Rebelpreneur Radio with Ralph Brogdon. Connect with Allison here at the links below. TheGriefCureBook.com. Go ahead and get that. ParadigmShiftRI.com. She's on Facebook. She's on Instagram. I'm telling you, you need to connect with Allison Franz. She's absolutely brilliant. So with that, my first question for you is, what is your why? Why is it that you do what you do?
My why is because I have been there, and I know what it's like to be suffering and to have everyone telling you that there's no way to heal. That is why I do what I do. Yeah. There's a lot of myths in the grief space that you're going to have to carry this loss for the rest of your life, and you're never going to be the same, and life is never going to be the same, and all this pain to some degree is going to be with you forever. And I just totally rejected that and decided that I was going to find a way. And I did. And after I did, I realized, wow, I really want to share this with the world, because there's got to be so many people who are in the same boat as I was.
Oh, yeah. No, I firmly believe that. I mean, you know, I've gone through grief and loss and trauma. And I mean, I think everybody has. I think, yes, we get it. It's a part of life. We totally understand that. But some people have been through a huge trauma. You know, I don't understand what it means to be, you know, sexually abused. I don't understand what it means to be, you know, raped. I don't understand what it means to be in a rollover car accident and watch someone die. Like, there's different traumas that I haven't been through, but I do know what it means to go to war. I do know what it means to deploy. I do know what it means to, you know, so there are some things that I've been through that others, and but it all comes down to that one thing, and it's how do you handle it and how does it take effect in your life? What do you think?
Well, yeah, it is super challenging because there are so many elements to every trauma, and every person is individual, right? We all have our own context that we come from. We all have our own lens that we see life from. And then you mix that with something that's completely painful and maybe even catastrophic, or we don't know what to do with it, right? However, we can't avoid these things. This is part of life. So, like, my work is about figuring out what to do when your worst nightmare occurs. You know, my work is all about learning how to be what I call unshakable in the face of life.
Wow. Okay. I like that. Yeah. Unshakable in the face of life. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
So what would be a transformational moment that happened in your life that put you on the path to what you're doing now? And I really enjoy the answer to the questions, because I believe that everything happens because of the trauma or because of the moment that this happened changed someone's life. You know, people who are sexual assault victims usually become sexual assault victim advocates, right? Someone who's been in a car accident because a drunk driver, usually like Mothers Against Drunk Driving, was created because the mother lost her daughter to a drunk driver. And so the reason I ask this is most of the time, you know, something happened, changed your life, and then this was the result. So I ask you, what is a transformational moment that happened in your life that was the catalyst to what you're doing now?
Well, there's been a number of of moments that have got me to where I am now. I've had a few catalytic moments, and if not many, but I think what really set things into motion for me was about a year and a half after my father passed away, and my life felt like it was in like this downward spiral that I couldn't get out of. And I had everyone telling me that I was pretty much stuck in this emotional state, that no one was offering any solutions to me. And I just set the intention. I just knew in my heart, I said, you know what? I'm going to heal from this. I don't care what anybody says. It's going to happen. I don't know when, I don't know how, but it will happen. And sure enough, as soon as I set that intention, very slowly but very surely, things start to fall into place for me. It was powerful.
How so? How did it fall in place?
So after I set that intention, which at that time I didn't even know what an intention was, I didn't know much at all about how energy worked or anything like that.
Right.
But about a month later, I got a flyer in the mail from a guy named Henry Grayson, and it said, revolutionary healing techniques, miraculous, you know, miraculous healing processes, all these things. And I just was like, yes, this is it. I just knew in my heart that this training was going to be gold to me, and I had to be there. So sure enough, I signed up for the training, and that training was a catalyst for me to just go on this huge journey of healing, growth, transformation, just changing everything into my life, changing everything in my life, including the way I do my professional work. So it just basically sparked, you know, a really incredible journey that I've been on and I continue to be on, even though I pretty much am where I would consider unshakable in the face of life. I have a lot of skills and philosophies and techniques that I use that have gotten me here. And that's what I do with my clients.
Oh, very cool. And we're going to talk about that too. So tell us what it is that you do with your clients. How are you elevating the world around you? You know, and you can talk about your book, because I know your book has changed many lives. So talk about that. What is it that you do now because of your why, because of those moments that have happened in life? How do you elevate the world around you?
I feel I have a mission to really help people know and believe in their power to heal and their power to overcome any circumstance, anything that comes into their life, any block that may appear. I am just super passionate about helping anyone realize what their true power is and what they can do, what their next steps are, no matter what they're facing.
Okay, expand on that. How do they know that they need to come with you? Like what would somebody be going through?
So
this is really important. I feel this is really important.
Yeah. I most frequently work with people who are dealing with grief and trauma. However, mm-hmm. I work with other people too. I've had people come to me and say, hey, I have this block in my business. You know, what do I do about it? You know, for some reason, I know what to do and I'm not doing it, or I'm not doing it right, or I'm halfway doing it and I can't figure out why, you know?
Right.
So a lot of my work goes very deep. It goes very deep into your subconscious, where we find all the blocks and all that junk going on that we're not paying any attention to, right? Because we have about 70,000 thoughts a day, which means we have more than one thought per second, which means there's a whole lot going on in our mind that we don't even realize is going on.
Yeah.
So we tap into the subconscious and we see where the blocks really are. And then we figure out how to really remove them by their roots. You know, it could be a belief. It could be a trauma. It could be a fear. It could be all kinds of things. You know, it could be just an energetic need to behave in a certain way. There's tons of blocks that people face each and every day, right? And we don't even know it's a block because we're unconscious to it. So until something really like shows up in our face, and like, you know, maybe we're just not doing what we know we need to do, and we can't get unstuck from this behavior of not doing what we need to do, something as simple as that. But you know, when it affects your livelihood, you're self-employed, and you're not doing what you need to do,
right.
It becomes a pretty urgent problem to solve.
Yeah.
So
one thing that go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, so it's just about finding blocks and knowing how to release them in a totally comprehensive way. A lot of people have multiple things contributing to any problem that they're facing in life.
Oh, very good. Very good. I was going to say one, I don't even know what you call it. One, I hate the word thing. I feel like I'm a speaker. I should be able to say something better than thing. One, I don't know if it's an issue or a moment or a mindset shift, but one time this happened to me and I couldn't figure out why. And as I've gone on in my entrepreneurial career, I've picked up on this. I am perplexed, fascinated, and abhorred at the fact that somebody doesn't become successful because of fear. Because they get the impersonator syndrome, right? The impersonation syndrome. They're like, man, who am I to become this multi-million dollar business owner? Like, I'm nobody special. Like, who am I, right? Or they say, well, I'm not. No, I don't know. I mean, six figures, I'm fine. I'm fine with six figures. I mean, I really am. Well, what's wrong with seven, eight figures, nine figures? Like, what's wrong with $1 billion? Like, what? I don't. You know, I was sitting in a hotel room, and my wife and I really never, like, she never really came to my speaking engagements like that way. It was always like a day long thing. Never really got a hotel room. So her and I, by ourselves, no kids, fly to Colorado, go to Colorado Springs. And I was supposed to pay for the hotel, but I was getting paid, but they covered the hotel room. I was like, oh, they're like, and it's not the hotel room that you were going to do. It's the hotel room that we set you up with. I'm like, okay, whatever. So they got like the hotel room. Like I've always wondered what's behind the double doors. I got to walk into the hotel room with the double doors and it was magnificent. And I looked out the window and I was like, look at this view. It's amazing. Oh my gosh. Like this is awesome. And then I was like, I don't deserve this. Like I was cool with like a double bed. Like I was like, what? And then I look and there's like a lovemaking jacuzzi tub in there. And I'm like, double sinks. I'm like, this is amazing. Like huge bed, dining room, love seat, like living room area. Like, I mean, this was a big hotel room. And my wife's like, you shut your mouth. Yes, you do deserve this. And I was like, well, like I would have been just fine with like, you know, but it was like the best time ever. And I felt myself like, I don't deserve this. Like, I don't. Right. And it's so weird. And I don't know if it was fear. I don't know if it was, I was happy. Like just with like a double bed. Like I didn't need it, I guess was what my mind was. But some people get that impersonation syndrome and it takes over.
Yeah. And usually what it is it's coming from old programming in childhood.
Okay.
Our thoughts come primarily from our oldest experiences. And those are also the thoughts that we have most repetitively. So,
wow. Okay.
Yeah. So of our 70,000 thoughts per day, probably the majority, about 70,000. Studies show
70,000 thoughts.
Yeah. So studies show 40 to 100,000 thoughts a day, depending on the study. So I usually say 70,000 because it's about the halfway point. And
holy,
if you think about it, that's more than one thought per second, which means we have a whole lot going on in our mind that's coloring the way we see the world, the way we see life, the way we see others, the way we see ourselves at
holy
all times.
Holy crap. Wait a minute. Okay, wait a minute. You said that it's more than one thought a second. How is that even possible? I mean, I know the brain's like amazing and like, but literally, I mean, if you think about like, our brain is literally having double, like instantaneous thoughts, instantaneous thoughts, instantaneous thoughts.
Because our thoughts are actually just energy. So an energy.
We could literally end the episode and I would walk away super pumped. Like my mind is blown right now. I'm
okay.
Like, not even kidding. I'm like scratching my head like, wait, what? I mean, it explains a lot because I get like these squirrel moments that just pop out of nowhere. Or I walk into the room and I'm like, the hell was I doing? Oh, crap.
Yeah. It's all just energy.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And as fast as energy can travel, that's how fast your thoughts can travel.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I definitely learned something today. This is like some Discovery Channel stuff right here. I mean, I knew we had a lot of thoughts. I just didn't know how many. Like when you say it like that, I'm like, holy crap. So,
yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So how do we, as I'm sitting in the hotel room and there's been, you know, this other time where even in the military, you know, when I was serving, you know, overseas or wherever, something great, when I'm like, man, great job. I was like, it's my job. Like, I don't need a medal. That's my job. You know, oh my God, that was amazing. And, you know, and then I got a combination medal. And I was like, but I just did my job. Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't know. I'm not high on my own supply is pretty much what I'm saying. I'm not high on my own supply. I'm like, oh, yeah, I am the greatest. You know, I think that we're all capable of greatness. And then when you exude greatness, like great things happen. And then it should be normal. But for some people, it's not.
It's not. And the majority of us, it's not. It's just a matter of how much of that we have going against us.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
We've all drawn the conclusion when we were young kids that we weren't good enough. I don't know anyone who hasn't come to that conclusion as a kid, because that's how we think when we're young. We think everything.
I said
that
the other day. I literally said that the other day. I am the worst to myself. Oh my God. I don't know if I don't love myself. I don't know. I am the worst to myself. I was supposed to have a deal done signed and delivered and was supposed to, I mean, it's a good size contract. You know, you get the speaker contract, you know, and you want to get paid. And then that fell through and it had nothing to do with me. It's just that they decided that they were going to move the date. And then because of the date, they had to redo some things and maybe they're not going to, you know, whatever. It was all them. It had nothing to do with me. But they were calling to let me know that the event isn't actually going to happen. It's going to be a little bit different, whatever. And I, you know, I was so mad. I was like, no. I was like, man, see, why do I do this, man? Because, like, I thought I was good enough. And I totally blamed myself, you know. And I'm so bad about blaming myself for everything that happens in the world. Like, if my business or my whatever, even though it's out of my control, I still blame myself all the time for everything.
Yep, that's what we do. And it's all can relate back to those old scripts that we,
wow,
that happened early on. Yeah. You know, whether it's that we were told we weren't good enough or it was our fault, or we just came to that conclusion on our own, because sometimes that happens too. Yeah. And depending how strongly that message was taken in will depend on how much that's affecting you. And of course, obviously, it's individual as well. Some people have sort of a more natural tendency to just go against the grain and say, okay, I'm going to push forward and deal with this anyway. And some people are more sensitive and they get more scared at going against the grain and just pushing forward anyway. So there's a lot of factors that come into it, but the biggest factor is that old programming. And a lot of it is stuff, conclusions that we drew on our own. You know, when the kid looked at us and told us we had an ugly shirt in the third grade, we decided, I'm a loser. You know?
Yeah.
I have an ugly shirt, I'm a loser. Whatever it is, you know, we draw these conclusions as kids because we feel uncomfortable, we're trying to understand the world, and we come to these conclusions that are just so not helpful, and they stay with us until later in life. They show up as patterns. And then when you notice that pattern, that's actually an opportunity to break that cycle. But we don't always think that way as human beings, right? And that's what makes my work so different, is that, you know, I really go deep into issues and work with subconscious and work with your energy systems and figure out how to really deeply remove those blocks so you can have a super happy, joyful life that you're feeling fulfilled.
I love that. And that's what needs to happen. You know, because as I go through my journey, I'm very self-aware. And that's why I can say, like, I'm bad to myself and I do this. But I also know what I can do to rise against that. You know, and some people are, they get so down on themselves. And they get like, I'm never going to be good enough. And I'm never, and you could tell them, you could do every single thing in the book, but yet they just can't get over themselves or around themselves or under themselves or whatever. I was told a long time ago, when I first, you know, became a teenager, and even when I joined the military, and it was like, you are your own worst enemy. Like, you need to get out of your own way. Like, oh, whatever. And I was the worst self-sabotager. I was the worst, you know, I'd get a little bit of success and I'd find reasons why I don't deserve it. Or I'd find, and so I'm getting better at that, but I realize that that's what I do. And so I have to, like, find ways to get around that. And I realize that I have to get out of my own way and just let things happen. And that's why I live my life by saying yes and figuring it out. Cause I know what'll happen is, hey, do you want to do this? I'm like, yes. And if I just say yes, and somebody asks me, yes, you know, then I go into the figuring it out process. But if I just go, I don't think so, and then I never know what I'm going to be shutting the door on. So I just always say yes, and then I figure it out. I'm like, oh, yeah, that doesn't sound like a plan. You know, like, I found out it's like an MLM or something. Like, oh, do you want to join this company? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Like, what's going to – oh, no, yeah, no, I don't want to do that. No, that's actually an MLM. I don't want to do that, and that's not what I'm about. And, you know, but at least I said yes to figure it out, right? Most people don't. They just say no all the time, and they're not open to new ideas. And the growth mindset that I have now really – took a lot of, and still does, it takes a lot of work and a lot of energy, you know, to just either swallow your pride or not be afraid, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. We are completely programmed to just do what's comfortable to us. And anything new is usually not comfortable.
Yep. Yeah. And so, I did a brain study on that. And your brain would love for you to sit and be sitting like on a couch, eating chips, watching Netflix inside of a soft bubble, like for the rest of its life. It would be very comfortable there. No stress, no nothing. But we all know that that's not a good place to be. Like, stress can be good and is really good, you know, but the grief and the trauma that comes along, you know, we were talking about earlier, really, really hit somebody hard.
Yeah. It can be earth shattering for people. And that's why I've made it my life's work to really look at what are the root causes of that pain so that it can heal. Because just like anything, everything has a root cause, and you just got to go deeper. And when you can figure out what's going on that deeper level, that's where the healing really happens. It's about not treating the symptom. It's about treating the causes of the symptom.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm curious. Mm-hmm. I'm really curious about your body's health and your body's toll. Because we know stress, like the bad stress, right? Like the real, like work stress or relationship stress. You know, it really can ravage the body. I'm wondering if grief and trauma treats the body the same way as like distress. Because, you know, we got good stress, which is eustress. But like, I'm wondering if grief and trauma, does it treat the body the same way? Is there health risks to not dealing with the grief or not dealing with the trauma?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
What would those be?
So basically what's going on is if you leave, you know, these symptoms of grief or trauma untreated there, so this is energy in your body that is being absorbed, because that's what your emotions are, your emotions and your thoughts, which is really what drives these symptoms, are being absorbed in your body, and your tissues are feeling everything. Your organs are feeling everything. This is flowing through. We have 16 meridians of energy in our body. It's going through our meridians. It's affecting everything. Our meridians all communicate with each other. It's wreaking havoc.
Wow.
That's why, you know, something like insomnia, right? It's super common, grief and trauma. You see insomnia. Why? Because your body can't shut down. Why? Because your limbic system is overstimulated. And what's going on when your limbic system is overstimulated? Your body is really stressed out, and it's communicating threat through your whole body. And that energy, the energy of feeling threatened and unsafe, is flowing through you as long as that's going on.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense. Because I always figured, you know, there's got to be, like, the body's got to tell you, you know, we have a lot of health risks today, really, because we know so much more than we did 100 years ago. You know, we know where these certain things come from. We know that stress does to the heart. We know how the brain interacts with this, that, you know, whatever. And I just really want people to know, if they don't take anything else away from this episode, and I'm going to ask you the same question. What I want them to know is that you need to get whatever it is under control, because your health is so important. Because whatever it is that you're carrying around with you does take a toll on your body. And so I'm going to ask you the same thing. What is it that you want the audience to know from this episode? What is that takeaway that you really, if they don't listen to anything else, that you want them to know about this episode?
That they're not stuck with any issue they might be facing in their life, be it in their health or in their external world, and that they have the power to change that. And that there's tons of resources available to them, be it a healing resource or a coach or a program. There's tons of things available to us in this day and age, and we just have to be willing to invest the time and money it takes to get that solution, because it really is possible. I think that's a huge thing for people. People think change is not possible, but it is. And in fact, I think that is what life is meant to be. Life is meant to be change, for us to grow and develop and heal and always be better. And if we're just comfortable doing the same, we can actually get comfortable in our pain. We get used to it. And, you know, we can also get secondary gains from it. You know, maybe it gets us attention, or maybe it gets us out of things. You know, I was speaking to someone a few weeks ago about why they haven't healed their grief yet. And they told what they realized in the course of our conversation was that by not healing their grief, it actually gives them an opportunity to hide and not move forward on any of their goals that they've been thinking of moving forward
on. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So actually a way to hide in some cases. And in many cases, I see that.
Do you see that a lot in spouses who lose a loved one? Do you see that, like, I'm so busy planning the funeral, I haven't had time to grieve. Or I miss them so much, I really haven't had time to grieve because I'm so busy with the kids, or I'm so busy with the job. Or maybe they had some big empire, you know, like if, I don't know, like if Jeff Bezos didn't get a divorce from his wife, and then Jeff Bezos or his wife passed or whatever, like they have to take things over. You know, like Detroit Tigers owner Mike Ilitch passed away, and he owned like Little Caesars, Detroit Tigers, Detroit Red Wings. You know, like I can't imagine what she was going through because she had to take over everything, or the son at least. Do you see that a lot in spouses when they lose a loved one? They don't have time to grieve because they're dealing with everything else to make everything else work. Is that a thing?
So, yes, that totally can be a thing. But it still manifests in their life. It still manifests in their life. And it often just depends on the degree. So this is the thing. So I talk a lot about, you know, in my work and in my book about what I call traumatic grief, which is grief that has been going on for longer than 6 months to a year, and it's disrupting your life, okay? So it's normal to have to transition, right, when we lose a loved one or something unexpected happens in our life, right? That's totally normal to kind of have to transition that and get reacquainted, readjusted in our life. Adjustment is normal. What's not normal is for this to be disrupting your life, especially a significant amount of time after it's happened. And I usually use 6 months to a year as a marker. For sure, if you're still feeling disrupted by grief or trauma a year after it has happened, you definitely need an intervention. If you are struggling with it 6 months after, there's a very good chance you'll need an intervention. In some cases, it could get a little better, but if you're really disrupted 6 months after, it's still significant. Maybe you're having a hard time getting through the day at work. Maybe you are having a horrible time sleeping. Maybe you're just miserable. Maybe you're just grouchy all the time. Whatever that might be, whatever those symptoms are, if they're significantly disrupting your life, that needs an intervention, okay? It's a different level of grief, traumatic grief. It's a sort of a deeper and bigger, more disruptive level of grief.
So there's different levels?
Yeah.
Oh, as if things couldn't get worse.
Yeah. Well,
I don't mean to make light of it. Yeah. I mean to make light of it, but I'm like, I mean, I'm already like, because here's where my mind's at right now. 2013, a month before my deployment to the Middle East, my grandfather passes away. He was a Korean War veteran. He was the guy who I would talk to about my deployment moments. He was the guy that kept me going through a lot of the dark times that I had in my life. He was the guy who was our family's spiritual rock. He was our spiritual leader, always in church, always preaching to us. Kind of like, what's his name? Frank Reagan. Tom Selleck? Frank Reagan in Blue Bloods. If anybody's listening right now who watches Blue Bloods, I love the show. But like Tom Selleck plays Frank Reagan, and everybody always looks to him and his dad, their grandfather, for guidance. He's the police commissioner. Like he, you know, that's everybody looked at my grandfather as our spiritual leader who held the household together. He had the answers. He was the guy, you know. When he passed, it was like, what the hell do we do now? But I didn't know there was more levels because that deployment sucked for me because I didn't have him.
Yeah. And there you go. He was more than just a grandfather to you. And that's what makes it so traumatic. There's a lot of levels to that loss there. I could go on and on and on about that. but I'll spare deep. You that.
It was a deep. It was deep for me because he was the, like, even as a kid, you know, I grew up rough, and every time I went to his house, you know, it was always like, he's going to hit me with some wisdom. I know he's going to say something that doesn't make sense. And then in like a week, it's going to make sense. Like, I know he's going to say something to me right now, or he would just, we would sit around for, let's say Memorial Day, we're all outside, we're barbecuing or whatever. And he'd go, you know, guys, and he would say something. It was like, whatever, grandpa, whatever. And then a week later, you're like, holy crap, I get that now. Like, he would just say something. He would just say whatever's on his mind, you know, and he was so loved by everybody that everybody just looked to him for wisdom. And I can't believe it's been 6 years already. And it's just like, I don't have anybody else. You know, I don't have a relationship with my dad. I really don't have anybody else, you know, that I can look. So there's been a hole in my heart forever because of that loss, you know, and that was that person. That's why I asked about spouses, because sometimes you'd be married for 10, 20, 30 years, whatever. A spouse passes or, you know, something traumatic happens. There's a hole there.
Yes, there is. But that's actually only one of the parts of the loss. And I go into this in my book. There's actually more things under the surface than just the loss. The loss is a part of it. However, there's sort of this package of things happening underneath the surface. So, So there's, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I think, you know, our traditional medical model doesn't address grief and really offer a true healing for it, because it looks at grief as just the surface loss, but it's not the surface loss. It has quite a few things attached to it. I talk about it in my online class too. I go into details about how there's actually sort of five primary elements of grief and what they are, and how they sort of create this package that we call grief that we're not fully conscious of everything that's happening.
Okay. Can you go through quickly what those five elements would be?
Sure. So first, perfect, what happens is the loss. So first we're dealing with a traumatic loss of some type. In your case, it would be, you know, your grandfather or whatever it is that someone is experiencing, something really significant from their life. As a result, they experience a heavy emotion from the loss. And as a result of that heavy emotion, we go into this really negative perspective and we draw these really negative conclusions that become beliefs for us. Mm-hmm. And from those negative conclusions and beliefs, we develop fears about what has happened that also contributes to the pain. And then those four parts link together and reactivate old pain, which is going on below the surface. So any other loss that you've experienced earlier in life, or anything that's even remotely close to this experience, is now being activated in your subconscious, and you're actually experiencing pain not only from the loss, you're also experiencing pain from this old stuff that's going on also. And that's a big missing piece for the traditional model of grief.
That's so nuts to me. Like, the old stuff is like, you know, like, man, I mean, it makes sense, because I mean, I, like, when I say I grew up rough, I grew up like rough, like bad. And man, you know, when I became a father, I was like, there's no way that I would ever do these things to my children. Like, the things that were done to me and the things that I dealt with, and me and my sisters, and like, I had, like, if I become any type of father, you know, if I could just become a halfway decent father, if I could become a good father, if I can just make sure that my kids don't have to deal with or feel the things that I felt physically, emotionally, mentally, you know, and see the things that I see, that I saw between my mom and the relationships that she was in, and, you know, different family members, you know, that were involved. And if I can just do that, you know, I think that that's a win, you know, and it kind of scared me when I became a father too, because that was a fear. I was like, man, I really hope that I don't turn into him. Like, I really hope that I don't, you know, I don't want to be that, like, father, like son, or I don't want to be like, you know, going down the road of, well, this happened, so that's our family history. And, you know, what, like, I want to break the cycle. And I think that I have, you know, because I don't treat my kids the way that, you know, I was treated and my sisters were treated when we were children. But that's not always the case, is it?
No, it's not. And a lot of times what happens is that we sort of subconsciously have downloaded in our childhood that this is how we treat kids. This is how, you know, this is how childhood works. This is how the parent-child relationship goes. And we just sort of unconsciously repeat that because, so when we're young, especially when we're very young, before the age of 7, our brain waves are actually slower. We're actually in a state of hypnosis. I don't know if you're aware of that. But when we're very young,
I did not know that.
Our brain waves are either in theta until we're 7 years old. And when we're like an infant, they're actually in delta. And delta is deep hypnosis. Theta is standard hypnosis. Okay. So what we experience when we're really young, we're actually being hypnotized. Okay, we are just downloading everything like this is life, this is the way it's supposed to be, this is, you know, it's like we're downloading a computer program, you know, and yes, and then that plays out later in life. If we're not super conscious of it, we can just easily replay the same program later in life. Super easy, very common.
Wow.
Yeah.
So my 5-year-old right now, I mean, I know like babies, they, cause I have an 18, well, she'll be 2 in, September. So I have an almost 2, like 3 months. So I have an almost 2 and I have a 5-year-old. So you're telling me that they right now are in kind of a state of hypnosis where every single thing they see, they take it all in. It's processing. This is the way the world is. This is the foundation. This is the foundation of what they will become, or this is the foundation of what their life will look like.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That is very true. Yes.
Wow. So the reason So I kind of feel happy because my 5-year-old, I tell her how amazing she is. I'm like, you know, you're beautiful, right? Like, I want you to, and I've done it a couple of times. I'm like, tell yourself that you're beautiful. She's like, no. I'm like, do it. Like, you know you're beautiful. Like, say you're beautiful. And my 12-year-old's like, I'm beautiful. I'm like, well, I know you are, but what about the 5-year-old? Like, I want to get her started on affirmations pretty early because I love affirmations. It always makes me feel better about myself because that's like my love language is affirmation. So if my wife affirms how amazing I am, I'm cool for the rest of the day. Even if she's lying, just affirm me and make me feel better. So I want my 5-year-old to get the foundation, I guess the way that you put it is to get the foundation of positivity. I want my kids to be positive and have a positive life. And so it kind of makes me feel great inside that I'm already having her do this now as a young child.
Yeah, it's perfect timing. You have perfect timing.
That makes me feel good.
Absolutely.
I was just doing it because I love affirmations. Like, I didn't know anything else. I love doing it because it's affirmations. So, you know, and I always tell them, like, I'm like, you know, you're my retirement fund, right? She's like, what? I was like, yeah, you're my retirement fund because you love me so much. You'd never put me in a crazy home. And she's like, oh, no, I love you forever. I was like, yes. You know, like, we always joke, you know. Right?
It's the right program. It's a program that'll benefit you for sure.
Right? It's like, you're going to take care of me when I'm old and crazy, right? And she goes, crazy, no. So, but I worry about that. I worry about, you know, the younger age, right? Because, my 12-year-old, you know, she's a girl. She's going through changes and she's, you know, she deals with ugly people at school, you know, and not face ugly, but like, you know, evil ugly or whatever you want to call it. People are bullying. They're acting ugly. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So she's got to deal with like the people who have an ugly characteristic about them. And they're saying mean things and they're pushing her down at school and they rip her backpack. And I just get so frustrated. And I'm like, man, kids are mean to each other. But she could pretty much take care of herself. If my 5-year-old was put in the same environment, she would just shut down. My 5-year-old, she would just shut down. She's not equipped for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I really want to give her that positive energy and build that resilience in her so that when she does come of age and this moment happens to her, that she's better equipped to deal with that.
Yeah, you want to give her confidence.
Right,
and,
right.
And make sure that she's sure of herself, right? Because a lot of the time that's what's going on. Kids are not sure of themselves. They think, oh, somebody just told me I'm a dirtbag. Maybe I really am, you know? So you want to get that really clear for her, you know? You want her to be clear as day. I'm not a dirtbag. I am a wonderful girl, and I'm only going to let people treat me in wonderful ways, you know?
Yep.
And there's another way to handle this situation. If someone's not treating me in a wonderful way, I'm either going to walk away or I'm going to tell an adult.
Yep. Oh, my wife is big on that. That's like, it's almost like a non-negotiable for her. Like, you will be treated the way that you deserve to be. Like, don't let nobody talk down to you. Don't let nobody touch you. Like, anywhere, you know, don't let nobody respect yourself, respect your body. I was not the nicest guy in the world from my 18 to 19 year old self to like 24, 25 when we met. You know, I looked at her, I was like, yeah, what's up? Like, that was me. I was that guy. You know, I'm in the bar, like, what's up? You know, like, that was me, right? Now I look back up, I would have whooped my own ass if I was like, if I saw myself, like, you know what I mean? I would, ooh. And I'm the guy that warns my children about me at 18, like, don't, like, I know how I was at 18, 19. Don't hook up with them type of people. I know exactly what they look like. You're looking at one. You know, like, I was trying, like, don't let them do that to you. Don't, you know, and that's something I have to live with, and those choices that I made. And that's not always a great feeling, but my wife was like, get away from me. And she had so much more respect for herself than to get with a dirtbag like me. You said dirtbag, like, I was the dirtbag. I only wanted you for one reason, and it wasn't for any other reason, but what are you thinking about that I'm thinking about? You know, I'm a dude, you know? Well, as I went through my own crap, you know, the only person left standing to help me really was her. Then we got together, and then I started changing. I started seeing the error of my ways, you know, the whole romantic story, you know, whatever. And then we got married. And so I love the fact that my wife is all about the respect of her, respect of the body, respect, like your life. Cause some, I don't know. I meet some girls, you know, cause my son's 16. I meet some 16, 17 year old girls, and I'm like, oh geez. Oh no. You know, like, oh God. So I don't want my daughters to be like that.
Yeah. And this is the prime time. Get her ready.
Yeah. Well, that makes me feel better that you said that. I mean, well, I don't know. Now I'm kind of worried even more. Oh, like, ah, crap. But thank you for sharing that, because I think that this is something powerful that people need to know. What you just said is just, I mean, this whole episode, I got to tell you, has been absolutely mind-blowing. Like, I'm not even joking. This whole episode has been like, holy smokes. My mind is absolutely – I have to do some research, because this is like, holy crap. So I want to thank you for sharing your brilliance with us. And if anybody listening right now has just tuned in the last couple of minutes, you have to go listen from like moment second one. Because, I mean, my mind is absolutely blown. I'm taking so many notes right now, and I have to go and now research all this stuff, because now I'm, like, wondering, you know, like, holy crap, where did I mess up? What can I do differently? You know, what kind of tools can I get to, you know, to be a better person and father and, like, all that stuff? So I want to thank you for that.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And don't blame yourself. You know what you know when you know it. And now you
that's
know
true.
It.
Yep, that's true.
So don't blame yourself. Nobody's perfect.
Right. What I want to do right now is I want to do a shameless plug for you. I want you to plug your programs, products, services, your website, your books, whatever it is that you want the audience to know and to do. This is the moment to do it. Shameless plug, go.
Well, I would love to give you a free copy of my book, which is at thegriefcurebook.com. I'd love to share that with you. You can get a free copy right there. You can also find me a lot of other ways, but I think that's the best way to get in with me. And after you download that book, you will get an email from me, and you are welcome to communicate with me through email after you get that email.
Perfect, perfect. And I want everybody to know.
I like to make it
just
simple.
Me.
I like to make it simple.
Yeah. I'm like, wait, go to Instagram, go to Facebook, go to this website, go to, like, get it all, you know? Connect
okay.
with her.
Yeah.
If you have a grief right now or a trauma that you're dealing with, right, you need and you owe it to yourself to connect with Alison Franz. I'm not even like if I would have known about you in 2013, I probably would have called you on my deployment, you know, like just to talk through, you know what I mean? Because my wife and I were at odds and we weren't really like on a great level of communication. I try to talk to my mom and I try to talk to my family and I don't want to talk to them. And it was like, I just want my grandfather. I just want to talk to my grandfather. That's all I want in this world. Just 5 minutes. But it was so frustrating. And so I really like took it out on everybody else. And I was trying to find it in all these different places. And I never really found it, you know? And again, being self-aware, you know, my wife has to be that person. You know, she has to be the one that I have to go to tell her these things, you know, even if she has no advice at all. And if she just listens or whatever, or if she does have great advice, you know, even better. But it's like, I have to have what me and my grandfather had. I have to have that. Just me personally, I have to have that. And so, you know, the good, bad, ugly, whatever, you know, it's, I have to put it somewhere. And, you know, my wife would be the perfect person to do that.
Yeah. It's super hard when you lose a loved one and you're super attached to that relationship and that person just meant the world to you. It's a really hard time. And
absolutely.
That's why I think it's, but like I said, there's so much in that grief package. If you're dealing with grief, I highly recommend that you read my book and kind of see more about what those deeper layers are. And it'll help you to identify what specifically those layers are for you. And you'll, there's also a link inside for you to get a toolkit where you can really exactly go in on your individual situation and see gauge exactly where you're at.
I love it. All right. So as we start to close the show, we give a nugget of knowledge. So give us a nugget of knowledge that will motivate someone, transcend and inspire them to take action.
Well, we are infinite beings. We are here to constantly move to our next highest potential. I think we don't have one highest potential. We continually climb the ladder, like this never-ending ladder of potential. And you can always break through whatever you're dealing with. You can always get to the next level. And I think that's what life is meant to do. And all these hard things that we're dealing with, grief, trauma, whatever else might be going on in your life, it's actually an opportunity. It's an opportunity for healing. Because once you start looking at it in a deeper way and you start really healing from that, it's got gold in it. I promise you. So
awesome.
Do the work and, you know, be the person you're here to be.
Awesome. I love it. Be the person you're here to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What a great way to end the
a
show.
A lot of people.
So
yeah,
simple.
I think a lot of people think that, oh, some people can do that. Some people can have that successful life. Some people can heal from that, but not me. Some people can do this, but not me. Some people. No. It's just that some people actually take action and some people don't.
Right. 100%. Well, Alison, I think the world of you. I think that you are absolutely brilliant and you are doing amazing work. I don't even know what to say. I mean, we went through a lot of points where I was like, wait, what? And it just makes so much sense. Like there's some things that I didn't know. I'm like, holy crap, it makes so much sense. Explain it. You know, what's funny is you can hear something 100 times. You know, maybe I heard that we have thousands. I mean, I know that we have thousands of thoughts. I just didn't know the number. Maybe I heard the number somewhere. You hear something 100 times, and that 101st time, it just has a breakthrough moment, and it just seeps into your brain. I don't know. I would tell you that this is one of has been one of the most enlightening episodes that I have ever done. This has been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm so glad that we got to do this. It was well worth the wait. And I mean, this show must be on repeat in somebody's house who is dealing with grief and trauma. If you are dealing with grief and trauma, I'm telling you right now, make an appointment, get on a call with Allison Franz. She's brilliant. She is absolutely amazing. And so I want to thank you for coming on the show and being a guest on Life Transformation Radio.
Thank you so much, Sean. It's been a pleasure.
Life Transformation Radio listeners, if anything resonated with you during this episode, and I know that it has with me, please connect with Allison. She's on Facebook. She's on Instagram. Go to ParadigmShiftRI.com. Go to TheGriefCureBook.com. Go there. Get the book. It will absolutely change your life. If anything that was said here today interests you and you want to take a deeper dive, you got to get the Grief Cure book. With that, subscribe to Life Transformation Radio wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts, all over iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, the Google Play Music app, wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts, please subscribe to the show. And with that, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. And I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.